I'm on a mission like a couple spies, and that, guys, is the reason why I catechize.
Welcome to the Reform Standard. I'm Tony. Let's get started. Question 31 of the Westminster Larger Catechism reads, with whom was the covenant of grace made? And the answer is, the covenant of grace was made with Christ as the second Adam, and in him with all the elect as his seed. So this question is something that is sort of intuitive to Reformed Christians once they start to get their head around the distinction between the covenant of works and the covenant of grace. But oftentimes in that sort of intuitive apprehension of this, we get a key feature wrong. And so a lot of times Reformed Christians, they hear about the covenant of works, they hear about the covenant of grace, and they think the covenant of grace is made with all Christians. And that's true in a certain sense that all Christians do participate in the covenant of grace. But if you notice there, there's a certain kind of asymmetry that happens there. We recognize, or we think we recognize, that the covenant of works was made with Adam, and then somehow in union with him, we become part of that covenant of works. But we often think about the covenant of grace as though it's made directly with us. And something to note here is that the covenant of grace is made with Christ as the second Adam. And so the divines here are setting up this kind of parallel understanding of covenant theology, where there's the covenant with Adam, and there's results of that covenant which trickle down into all of Adam's posterity that descend from ordinary generation, right? We've talked about that in the last several questions, the ontological and ethical consequences of sin. And then we now have this symmetrical understanding that Christ, as the second Adam, is whom the covenant of grace is made with. And so also, he now has a seed. And so just as the seed of Adam, or those who are under the federal headship of Adam, are brought into the covenant of works, so also those who are the seed of Christ, or those who are in the federal headship under Christ, are brought into the covenant of grace. And so we have to look at this, and we have to think about the implications of that, is that predominantly the covenant of grace, which is, it has conditions, it has stipulations, and anytime there are promised blessings, there are at the very least implicit curses for not fulfilling the covenant. Christ is the one who fulfills both the covenant of works on our behalf, and then also the conditions of the covenant of grace. So it's not as though Christ has faith for us, but Christ is the one who makes provision for us to have faith. And so it's not as though God lays out these covenant conditions for us in the covenant of grace and then expects us to fulfill them. But instead, just as Adam would have had he succeeded in his probation in fulfilling the covenant of works, just as the blessings of the covenant of works would have flowed out to all of his posterity, so also all of the blessings of the covenant of grace flow out from Christ. They flow out from our covenant head, who himself fulfilled the covenant. So we should never suppose just because the covenant of grace is a second covenant or a separate covenant, we should never suppose that somehow it is not Christ fulfilling the conditions of that covenant. Faith is not a condition of the covenant of grace for us that we fulfill. Christ fulfills that on our behalf, and then also he provisions and provides the faith through which those blessings are apprehended by us. But we do not fill the conditions of the covenant of grace any more than we fulfill the conditions of the covenant of works. So it's important to note that. We'll spell out some more of the implications of that, some of the details of covenant theology as we go into the next several questions. But the beauty of this question is that it reorients us to understand that, contrary to Arminian theology, where faith becomes a condition of our salvation, it becomes a means by which we are saved. In some instances, some Arminians will even say that it becomes a meritorious act that God rewards our faith with salvation, which is not what the scriptures teach. Contrary to that kind of thought, the covenant of grace here is not a way for us to obtain salvation for ourselves, but it's a way that Christ himself obtains salvation for all of his people. And then through the faith that he grants them by the Holy Spirit, he delivers all of those benefits in union with himself.
Do you know if you want you could know this? The catechism, hey, the catechism, hey. Do you know what the chief and the man is? And how the Father, Son, and Spirit do manage? Do you know if you want you could know this?
West Side!